Kings praise thee, Lord Most High, heaven and earth and sea and the sky, all were for thy glory made, that thy greatness thus displayed should all worship bring to thee. All things praise thee, Lord, may we.
Welcome. We are so glad that you are sitting in this room with us this morning. However you got here this morning or came to be in this room, I hope that you leave this space knowing God more, feeling loved, and welcomed. If you will look on the back of the chairs, I know they're spread out a little bit differently, but there's all sorts of different colored cards, some that you can send in to the church office where we can send notes to one another, some that you can mark that, hey, I'm here, we would love to hear that, and then little envelopes that you can designate special donations on there if you see fit. If you are gathering with us online, welcome. We are so glad that you are here as well. And so if you are sitting in your home, you are going to want to grab communion supplies, something to eat, something to drink. We have that provided here this morning that we will do sometime later in the service. So again, welcome. I hope that you hear a word this morning, and I am going to invite Cora up to come light the candle.
King, if you'll turn it down for a second, I'm going to lower this. Okay. All right, our psalm for today comes from Psalm 145. I invite you to stand, please, as I read. Let's remain standing for the couple of songs that follow. This is Psalm 145, starting in verse 10. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your faithful shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to all people your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. Let's worship in song together.
All things praise thee, night to night, chained in silent hymns of light. All things praise thee day by day, chants thy power in a burning ray. Time and space are praising thee. All things praise thee, Lord, may we. All things praise thee, heaven's high shrine, rings with melody divine. Lowly bending at thy feet, seraph and archangel meet. This their highest best to be, ever praising, Lord, may we. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. Shout to the Lord, O the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. Oh Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Oh Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Oh Lord, we praise your name. Oh Lord, we magnify your name, Prince of Peace, mighty God, oh Lord God Almighty. Oh Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Oh Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Oh Lord, we praise your name. Oh Lord, we magnify your name, Prince of Peace, mighty God, oh Lord God Almighty. Oh Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Oh Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Oh Lord, we praise your name. Oh Lord, we magnify your name, Prince of Peace, mighty God, oh Lord God Almighty. Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Oh Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Oh Lord, we praise your name. Oh Lord, we magnify your name, Prince of Peace, mighty God, oh Lord God Almighty. Let's be seated.
Please pray with me. O God, our Father, creator of the universe, you alone are worthy for the praise that we lift up in song this morning and now as we lift it up in prayer. Father, you are holy and true and truly worthy of our worship. Father, this morning we pray that you would develop in us a greater sense of trust in you. Father, specifically, may you give us a stronger belief in your presence among us and in the world. Father, it sometimes seems like the world is winning. But Father, we know that you are present and we see it in the faces and the presence of people that you bring to this church each Sunday and the lives that they live throughout the week. Father, your presence is indeed among us and we're grateful for it. May we trust you more. Father, we pray for your protection. Father, there's so many things that threaten the goodness of our lives, Father, severe illness, Father, a disease, threat of accidents, the threat of crime and violence. Father, may we trust you that you are and your angels are among us and protecting us from the evil that the world and the devil throws at us. Father, especially may we be able to trust you for your providence, that you are aware of our lives. We believe strongly in the fact that you created a good world and you created us to enjoy your creation. And Father, we pray that you would grant all of us present and those that are online and those that we know and love, Father, may you grant their needs so that they want for nothing. And Father, I pray that you give peace to people who are in distress for the basic needs of life. And Father, may your providence be a miracle to them. Father, we pray for your promises, that we trust more in your promises, that you are going to do what you set out to do with this creation, and that we are a part of that purpose. We thank you for that opportunity, for the grace that you've extended, the fact that you've redeemed us to join in the work of Christ, to bring your creation to its fulfillment. Father, may your kingdom come and your will be done among us. And may you develop in us a trust that overcomes our unbelief. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you're just joining us, either here in person or online, we have been listening through the Gospel of Mark. Right in the middle of Mark is this call to discipleship that Jesus gives those who will choose to follow him, can choose to follow him. Each and every week, each and every Sunday during this season of the Gospel of Mark, we have been speaking to each other this call to discipleship from Mark chapter 8. Today, I would like to ask a volunteer, you can stand up right where you are and read the part that says, "Reader," and the rest of us will join in with the all. So someone, please, can stand up and do that, and I will sit off on the side.
Perfect peace in this dark world of sin. The blood of Jesus whispers peace within. Peace, perfect peace, by thronging duties to the will of Jesus, this is rest. Peace, perfect peace, with sorrows surging abound on the Jesus bosom, not what come is found. It is enough. Earth's struggles soon shall cease, and Jesus call us to heaven's perfect peace.
to read our scripture today. He is not here, of course. He has not been able to get out very much lately, but he came up here this week and I recorded him reading our scripture for today, and he also has a word of greeting to you. So, King, is the music off? All right, here we go. All right.
Good morning, church. I bet you guys had no idea I'd be here today, right? But again, you know, it's the brain of Pastor Steve. You know, he's a star, right? Because if I had my way, he'll be preaching and I'll pop up on the screen and, you know, come in like Michael Jackson with military. But then again, I was like, nah, I can't do that. They'll say, you can't say that. I said, why? They ain't gonna laugh. I say, the Lord was running. He wore sandals and he made me. So I'm just glad to see you guys. I'm glad you guys are here today, this morning. And I'll be reading from Mark 4, verse 35 to 41. I'll be reading on faith. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowd behind, although boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. Far away was breaking into boats, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciple woke him up shouting, teacher, don't you care that we are going down? When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said, wave, silence. But still, suddenly, wind stopped, and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? The disciple was absolutely terrified. Who is this man that asked the other, even wind and waves, obey him? Well, that's faith, brothers. That's faith, church. I'll give you a little something. Larry, Martha came and bought us some things before Christmas. And he was kind of like, well, son, I got 18 to 17% in my legs. And they wanted to put a stent in. Well, he was going to get a stent in. And when I heard that, there's something said, bing. I said, Larry, that's it. That's it. When they put that stent in, everything gonna be all right. Well, a couple of weeks he called me, or I got in contact with him, and everything was all right. Now that's faith. Faith comes by word, and word comes by the word of God. Thank you. See you later.
Way up there. What a gift. Let's pray together, please. Oh God, by faith we gather together again, trusting in your promises and your providences. Thank you for the words that you have for us today, the words that you've already spoken. Would you pour through me now the gift of preaching and give us ears to hear and eyes to see. It's through Christ we pray and do all things. Amen. The last two Sundays, we have read three of Jesus' parables that had to do with seed, soil, and harvest. Since we do not live in an agrarian society here in Houston, you can be forgiven if the farming analogies are somewhat lost to you. Not many of us have walked plowed fields, tossing seed from side pouches. Not many of us have threshed wheat using a sickle. And while many of us do appreciate mustard the condiment, not many of us could recognize mustard the plant if its limbs scraped across our knees. Today's story, however, hits closer to home. Living along the Gulf Coast during summer and fall, huge storms are kind of our thing. We Houstonians can relate to this one a bit more. Here in chapter 4, Mark's narration skills are in full form. He gives such striking details to the gripping tale, the wind, the waves, that we ourselves can imagine riding the watery roller coaster too. The violent elements he tells us about are reminiscent of Jonah's story back in the Hebrew scriptures. But in Mark's version, sadly, there is no fish massive enough in the Galilean Sea to gulp down and keep alive all 12 disciples at one time. The whole foray begins at dusk when Jesus tells his disciples that he is ready to leave his current location and take a journey across the open waters to reach the other side. Jesus was teaching on the western and Jewish shores of the Sea of Galilee. Where Jesus wants to go is the eastern and Gentile shores of the Sea of Galilee. Next week, we will talk about what happens when Jesus actually gets there. He leaves behind a large crowd, as he is apt to do in Mark's gospel, and gets into the boat that he once used as a pulpit when the crowds pressed a little too close to him. Since the boat is small, not all the disciples and their baggage could fit in the same vessel, so the other boats, they joined in as well. Had any one of them opened up the weather app on their phone, the forecast would have advised them not to venture out onto the water just yet. Leave in the morning, not when it's getting dark. But no one thought to check, and off they go, sailing directly into the hungry mouth of the awaiting behemoth. Sure enough, halfway across, a great windstorm whirls about them, lashing out with a squalling fury, kicking and screaming with all its ferocious might. Seawater begins swamping the boats, but as fast as the men bucket it out, it's not enough, and they know it. Despite having at least 4 experienced fishermen on board, no amount of expertise will get them out of this disaster. These men will not make it. Dread overtakes the disciples. Down to their last option, they go to Jesus, whom they last saw in the back of the boat. He is still there, asleep, on a cushion during the storm. How could he be taking a nap at a time like this? They wake him up. Combining their panic from the storm with their anger directed at Jesus, what they say to him, however justified, comes out harshly. Teacher, is it nothing to you that we are going to die? Do you not care? Jesus, now fully awake, stands up. He rebukes the wind, commands it to stop, and the wind runs out of breath. He speaks directly to the sea, quiet, and the sea becomes as smooth as glass. He reprimands his disciples, why are you afraid? Do you still not have any faith at all? And the disciples say nothing else to Jesus, so in awe, so in wonder, so in fear they are of him. They can only whisper to one another, who is this that even the winds and the waves obey him? In the Hebrew scriptures, water takes on a dual role. The Psalms talk of water like a life spring, the kind that restores the soul when you lay beside quiet streams. Trees planted by the river grow exponentially. Elsewhere, water breaks out of a rock to quench the thirst of a thirsty and traveling Israel. Excuse me. and water wells were significant sites for key individuals. Water is necessary for life, and God steers God's creation there. Then there's the exact opposite. Water, so essential for existence, can also be destructive and foreboding. One psalmist writes this, "Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in the miry depths where there is no foothold. I have come into the deep waters. The floods engulf me." Beyond the Psalms, Job describes a nightmarish sea monster who lived in the dark waters. During Israel's flee from Egypt, the Red Sea jammed them in with no way to escape the Egyptian army. Even in Genesis chapter 1, at the beginning of the creation poem, the earth was a formless void and darkness covered the face of the deep waters, a bottomless and turbulent abyss. Water, and specifically the seas, symbolizes the presence of chaos. The rolling, rumbling, life-threatening churning of the seas represents the madness and pandemonium that is or will submerge whatever well-being and future you thought you may have had. Returning to the boat scene, the wind, the waves, the seas, the giant waves besieging the disciples' hope of getting out of this alive, the word for that is chaos. There is chaos all around them. And what is Jesus doing? He is asleep on a bedroll. Why wouldn't the disciples blame Jesus for the predicament they are in? He who brought them out here in the first place. None of the disciples asked for any of this, yet here they are, about to live on only in people's memories. They cry out in anguish and desperation, "Do you not care? Do you not see what is going on here?" That's the universal cry, of course, for people who believe in God. For people who want to believe in God, for people who can no longer believe in God. It's the suffering howl that tries to wake God the parent up from God's slumber to come and take care of the creation that God is supposed to love so very much. If God cares, then where is He? And why is this happening? If God can command the whirlwinds on the seas to cease, then why not other weather patterns like the floods that sink whole towns or the blazing infernos that turn forests into ashes or tornadoes that annihilate houses as if they were mere Lego pieces? Those whys can easily beget other whys, of course, about pandemics and tragedies and wars and a thousand other things. And we know there is no bucket large enough to bail us out of these messes. On a more personal level, with everything that is going on in the world, you may wonder if God is even alert to your troubles that aren't as publicly newsworthy, but affect us just as much, if not more. About your kids, your parents, your marriages, your jobs, your bills, your bodies, your feelings. You carry these on the inside, a raging typhoon that nobody sees but you. Do you not care? I recently came across a podcast that caught my ear. It's called Police Log. The host has a colleague of hers read police reports that were written up in the small town newspapers in her home state of Vermont. That's all it is. A person reading aloud what calls were made to the police for them to come and help the situation. Now, central Vermont is quite a different animal than sprawling Houston, but let's listen to a 2-minute episode anyway and see what's there for us.
The following is a sampling of calls to the Barrie and Montpelier City Police in the last several months. A female employee at Abukhan's Hardware on Main Street wanted to speak with an officer about a male who came into the store and made her feel uncomfortable. Someone was on a porch on North Main Street. Someone traded in an old wedding ring and $500 toward a new ring at a store on North Main Street, then changed her mind. The store refused to give her her money back. On Park Street, a male was going door to door asking people if they wanted their yard shoveled, but there was no snow on the ground. A caramel and apple pie was reported missing from a refrigerator on South Main Street. On North Main Street, two males with backpacks were having a heated argument. Someone put laxatives into another person's food on Summer Street. On North Main Street, a man refused to leave a deli and took off his shoes. A male wearing a brown jacket on South Main Street was being mean to a dog. An intoxicated man wearing a Hawaiian shirt was walking down Route 62. A blonde female wearing a white cape was standing at the end of a North Main Street driveway, agitated. At Pitkin Court, a person was feeling harassed. On East Montpelier Road, there was a disoriented fox. A black cat was on a back porch on Seminary Street for 3 days, crying to come in.
If we read the Houston Chronicle's police log, if there is one, that is, we'd hear, no doubt, a different set of problems. I don't think this city would call about disoriented foxes or laxatives jokingly mixed into someone's food. And while we do have hundreds of feral cats on the loose, I don't know if anyone here would make a police report about them. Maybe someone would. I don't know. I'm not a cat person. But others sounds familiar because they are familiar. Someone making someone else feel uncomfortable. Someone being harassed. Men in backpacks in a heated argument. A woman, cape or no cape, agitated. Those could be anywhere. The Police Log podcast, to me, represents all these little daily disruptions that arise and occur all around us. One of these disruptions, especially if they do not happen to me, probably won't disturb too much, but a full collection of minor annoyances can add up and weigh down, and together they rock our boat with more intensity than we would like to admit. I get that there is a huge gap between stolen apple pies and fires in the western United States. But the linking factor is the unease brought about by ongoing chaos. No matter if it's a low hum of anxiety that endlessly swirls in our brains, or an all-out despair thanks to the Leviathan-like beasts that seek to steal, kill, and destroy whatever serenity could have been there. How do you live with the unease brought about by chaos? What it feels like is a slow sink into the miry depths, and there's no firm foothold you can use to press yourself back up. What it feels like is a non-choice between angry foes on one side and a watery grave on the other, and knowing that you cannot come out of this with your soul still intact. What it feels like is a betrayal of what God said God was going to do. Care for us. Then we read this. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion, and his disciples woke him up shouting, "Teacher, don't you care? We're going to drown." When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." Against the storming chaos, Jesus says, "Silence, quiet, peace." What he is doing is not just telling the wind to please stop so that the ship can sail smoothly. He speaks peace to where peace seems impossible. He creates calm in the realm of confusion. He rebukes that which terrorizes life. In the end, the chaotic winds and waves that threaten are no match for the reign of God. The wind stops, and there is a great calm, greater than the storm that menaced and screeched like demons. What Jesus is doing is reordering what chaos has disordered, not ordering back to things how they were before the ship set sail, but reordering creation by grace into something new. Jesus setting sinking feet on solid ground where there was none before. Jesus overcoming the forces that lurked just under the surface. Jesus making a way by moving seas aside. Jesus, that fresh word from God, embodying the words, "Let there be light," over the deep, watery abyss, and the words, "Let there be peace," inside the boat that's ready to capsize. And there was light, and there was peace. Do we believe that Jesus can do that? Against all storms that come, against all chaos, can we believe that God has got this? We have not been promised that there will be no more storms. Even Jesus said, "In this world there will be trouble." But we are promised that he will be with us no matter what may come. And we've been promised that Jesus, despite our visual evidence, is indeed bringing reorder to chaos. And his reorder will come in God's own way, not the way that powers that be always try to order things. Order and kingdom will come from tiny seeds, as we've learned from the parables. God's reign will speak peace right in the middle of the storm. So Stanley Gay was right. This is a story about faith. "Where is your faith?" Jesus says to his disciples. "Why are you afraid? Trust me. Trust me." I finish with this. Many of you remember August Wachenfeld, who was a part of this congregation for several years before he died in 2017. I told this story at his funeral, and it has stuck with me throughout these years. During August's last 12 months, he spent a majority of it at the hospital. Every time I would go visit him at the VA, his body and his mind kept fading further and further away. His words, too. And eventually, we transitioned from 20-minute conversations to me simply holding his hand. One of the last times I saw him, I sat with him for a good hour. I said a couple dozen words, and he said much fewer. We held hands as he dozed off and on. At one point, he lifted his head, turned his face to me, eyes wide open and shocked, like he did not realize someone was with him. And then he spoke, as clear as words can possibly be, right to me, "I feel at peace." He laid his head back down and closed his eyes, and I thought he was going to die right then and there. He didn't. He just breathed hard and heavy, and a single watery tear rivered its way down a wrinkle at the corner of his eye. He was at peace, lying there, in pain, tired. I held his hand, and he was at peace, and so was I. I don't know exactly what August was like before he came to Southwest Central, but I do know it wasn't always easy living for him, with trouble and waves, some he caused, others he fell victim to. I believe, however, that those 12 months affected him greatly. From my time of sitting with him in hospital rooms, he became a man of peace. Or better yet, peace became him. Peace came over him. As August steadily lost his words, I believe he found the words that God's Spirit had been speaking to him all along, the sort of peace that Jesus was talking about. "My peace I give to you, August. Do not be afraid. You are mine, and I am yours." The same Jesus who declares silence to the wild storms outside also addresses the storms within you. Then and now and forever, Jesus is the one who raises his arms and speaks peace. What we do, dear ones, is lift our hearts and our hands in faith. God speaks peace, and we get to respond in praise. Thanks be to God. And together we say or we type, amen. Let's stand and worship, please.
Had it not been in the Lord who was on our side, had it not been in the Lord who was on our side, the anger of the enemy would have swallowed us alive, had it not been the Lord who was on our side. Blessed be the Lord who would not give us up. Blessed be the Lord for his unfailing love. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. Had it not been in the Lord who was on our side, had it not been the Lord who was on our side, the water would have engulfed us, we would have surely died, had it not been the Lord who was on our side. Blessed be the Lord who would not give us up. Blessed be the Lord for his unfailing love. The snare is open and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. Oh, not give us up. Blessed be the Lord for his unfailing love. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the Lord.
Let's be seated.
We gather again at the Lord's table. My friends, what a gift this is today. So let's pray together. And after I pray, if a few of you will come up and help me serve the bread and the cup to different parts of this congregation in this room. Let's pray together. O God, who speaks peace, speak your peace over our world. Speak your peace over our congregation. Speak your peace over our individual lives. Our faith today is in you. And by faith, we eat and drink this bread, which is your body, this cup, which is your blood. We give you thanks this day. It's through Christ that we pray and do all things. Amen. See my friends joining me up here, so it must be time for our offering. So you can give either in the plates that they're going to pass around. You can give online, as so many of you do. You can drop it off at the office, hand it to me, drop it in the mail. Either way, whatever way you give it, we give you thanks for doing that. Let's pray together, and then these guys will walk around. By faith, O God, we give. We entrust all these things to you, with however big or small that we give, that you, by your grace, by your goodness, will bring about fruition and a harvest that maybe we can possibly see and maybe not. We entrust all these to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, while those guys are walking around, here are a couple of family matters I want to share with you. You see up on the screen is a still Braze Interfaith Ministry Month. We are still collecting these kind of items and placing them in the box that's, I think, in the lobby right now. May have been moved into the cry room just this last week for a bit. But you can bring these things and we'll take them all to BIM and next week when August hits us, which is crazy. We have, of course, our Vacation Bible School coming up in a couple of weeks, actually 1 week from today. Wow. In 7 days, we'll begin on Sunday night, 5:30 to 7:30. We'll go again on Monday night, and on Tuesday night, we'll have our VBS right in this room. We still need some volunteers. If you have not yet filled out either your Google form that we sent out via email, or taken one of these paper copies of that same form and handed in to tell me that you can volunteer in some way, would you do that? At least the top part that says, yes, I can pray. I have had maybe 4 or 5 people just click the box that said that they can pray, and I would love to have more than that. Okay? Can you do that for the VBS? Can you let me know that you're going to pray? If you want to serve in person, we definitely have some roles left for you. So you can just let me know, and we can go forth from there. Classes you see up on the screen, they're all over this building. In the nursery, our youngest kids, Martha and Stephanie, are taking our elementary. I'll be upstairs with King. We have 3 adult classes. Echoing Hope is what Chelsea is leading today. Dee is helping to lead Ezra and Nehemiah. And here in the auditorium, Dick and Larry is taking care of that class. Before I read our benediction today, 2 other things. I want to remind you, friends, speaking about the storms that are in our lives, we still have a mental health fund. This is money that we have to help pay for counseling, for therapy, for psychiatrists, and several of you have taken advantage of that. We still have some funds. If that is something that you need, or that you would like to learn more about, or just receive the mental health resources list about different mental health resources, counselors, books, whatnot, you can see me and we can start that conversation. Last Thursday, I got a call from Stu Zimmerman asking this congregation to pray for him because at the end of August, he will have a stent placed in his heart. He had some blockage in there. I got a call from Judy this morning saying that Stu had a stroke last night and is in the hospital, and she did not stay on the phone very long, understandably, but she asked that I share that this morning with you and that we can pray over Stu. Larry, I'm going to ask that you pray again for us, please. Will you come pray for Stu, please? After Larry is done, then I will get up and send us out with a benediction.
Let's pray. Dear God, this is bad news. It makes our hearts sad because our brother's life is in peril right now. But Father, we pray to you as the creator of life and the sustainer of life, that your mercy be upon Stu at this time, and that you help him recover as much as possible, limit the amount of damage that is done to his body. And Father, most importantly, may you give both Judy and Stu the peace as it occurred with August, as Steve reminded us today. Father, we are grateful for the gift that that Stu has been to this congregation and the passion that he has, the love he has for this congregation. Father, I ask that you honor that at this time by creating peace in his life and health. We pray these things in his name, Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you stand, please, and receive this benediction as we are sent forth from here into your classrooms, out into the world, whatever's next for you. Jesus stood up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Peace, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this, that even the wind and the waves obey him?" May you go in peace and with purpose this week.